the title or the theme for this morning, How God Rescued a Nation. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings, Old Testament book, 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. If Americans wave the flag too often, Canada can be accused of not waving it at all. I have one task that I will take care of first thing Tuesday morning. And I'm going to call Family Life, Family Trust, and thank them for putting a little Canadian flag on my lot yesterday. They went through the entire region putting little Canadian flags on all the lawns, and we have one. This morning is not a morning of politics, as you well know. That will never be done from this platform. But this morning is a deep, deep concern for our country and the desire that that which made us great will once again revive us and make us great again. I shall never forget attending a breakfast some years ago, attended by some of the well-known dignitaries and entrepreneurs of Ontario. I was a guest. And the speaker was the chairman of Air Canada, a brilliant and a dedicated Christian. And I remember listening to Mr. Chairman as he spoke, and he said these words. He said, "I am a businessman. I got into business for interests. But I know one thing for sure. You can never make any interest if you do not first invest." And he said, "Our forefathers invested spiritually in this country. And this generation has reaped the benefit of all the spiritual investment of our forefathers. But," he said, "no one is refilling the well. No one is returning or investing spiritually in the country. I looked through some history books, and it was interesting that in one of the books that I looked through, one of them had Canada mentioned once, and that was the name of the country. Nothing is said about the spiritual heritage of this country. Nothing was said at all about the Mennonites, or nothing was said about the Baptists. Nothing was said about the Pentecostals. Absolutely nothing. Now, that does not mean that there isn't any history to these organizations. But when modern man writes the history of this country, they seem to forget that it has had a religious past. And as a result of that, nothing is said, even about what is written in Ottawa, that he shall rule from sea to sea." I have been listening to the whole concern over Meech Lake from the time it started until it ended. And believe me, it was becoming quite nauseous for a while. I kept hearing and hearing and hearing, and I was hearing the same thing over and over. In fact, I got so tired of it that one day, traveling between here and Kitchener, I took out an Abbott and Costello tape and listened to it. I thought, I want to laugh again. And of course, it's my favorite, Who's in First. And so I just had a time all by myself in my car, traveling from Kitchener to Toronto. But why? Because, my friends, everything we listen to painted for us a picture so black that we wondered if anything would be left of the country on the 24th of June. Now, having given you that little bit of background, I turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, because in 1 Kings chapter 18 we have a parallel. We have what I call a nation in distress. And how God, why it got that way, and how God rescued it. I'm going to read a few verses, then give the title of my outline, and then go do this throughout the message this morning. Since this is a different kind of a message, it is not one that I deal with every Sunday or at all for that matter. I think it's the first time I've ever tried this. 1 Kings 18:30 and 1 Kings 16:33. 1 Kings 18:30. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been broken down or torn down. 1 Kings 16:33. So, and Ahab made the Asherah, or if you have the King James, a grove. We'll get to that in a minute. So Ahab made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. The title I give to the first part of my message this morning is The Miscalculation of a Nation. The miscalculation of a nation. What did they do that they terribly, terribly miscalculated? The first miscalculation of a nation was that it removed its spiritual heritage. Israel removed its spiritual heritage. 1 Kings 18 and 30. Then Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down, that was torn down, that was pulled down, that was actually kicked down. Israel had known the blessings of God from the time they came out of the land of Egypt. In fact, whenever God wanted to speak to his people, he reminded them that he was the Lord God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God never wanted Israel to forget that their deliverance was due to the mighty hands of God. And they went through the wilderness. And then they came to the book of Exodus. And God gave them deliberate, distinctive laws by which to live so that they might be a distinct people because of their relationship to God. And you know some of the story, some of the history of Israel. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 24, God said to the people of Israel, "Build me an altar that I may cause my name to be remembered." The altar of the Lord was to cause his name through all generations to be remembered as the God who had actually delivered them, was delivering them, and was going to deliver them. Israel had, if you please, all kinds of things to remind them. God told them about laws to keep. God told them about altars to build. And he specified for them the way they were to do it. But somehow, my friends, they forgot this God. And somewhere along the line under Ahab, they removed the altar of the Lord, which was their spiritual heritage. Actually, the word literally means that they broke it down. They took it upon themselves to say, if you please, if I may paraphrase, "We have come of age now. We don't want that old-time religion. We don't want that blood-stained religion. What we want a modernized religion. We want something that we can understand. We want a God that we can handle. We want a God that we can understand. We don't want that God of the Old Testament who thundered and frightened people." And they removed the altar of the Lord. It was their heritage. It was their spiritual identity. It was their source of understanding of where they were and where they were going. Everything that Israel needed for time and eternity depended upon their spiritual heritage, and they removed it. Will it surprise you, my friends, when I say that we too have removed some of our spiritual heritage? It is no longer the rites, if you please, and some may disagree with this. But I want to tell you, my friends, that I do not believe that teaching the Lord's Prayer in school was teaching religion. The Lord's Prayer was a sense of identity. The Lord's Prayer was a sense that we believed in the eternal God, and that from time, year one, from John A. Macdonald right through to the present Prime Minister, that there was a sense of acknowledging that we were not people who were dropped out of the sky, but that we have somewhat of a sense that there is a God in heaven and that we as a nation were responsible to Him. That is why in Ottawa they have over the House of Parliament, "And He shall reign from sea to sea." Who He? I was asked to sing some time ago at the inauguration of the mayor of Stouffville. And she said to me, "My favorite song is How Great Thou Art." And someone asked, "When you sing it, will you be looking at her or looking elsewhere?" Was she saying how great thou art? No, she was not. But my friends, I'm going to tell you what we're saying today. We are saying how great we are, and how great we are without any reference to our spiritual heritage. And for that reason, we have miscalculated the results of removing our spiritual heritage. One day in seven. It is based, my friends, upon the Christian religion, which says that land and people need one day to rest, to review their lifestyle, to understand where they have come from and where they're going, to make preparations for another week, to prepare oneself physically, mentally, and psychologically. But what are we doing? We have removed another landmark, the home. Do you know, my friends, that one in three marriages in Canada now end in divorce, one in two in the United States, and can we be far behind? We have removed what held marriages together in times past. Three things. There was a sense of a religious responsibility. There was a sense of the family. And there was a sense of community. And those three things no longer mean anything to anyone anymore. So that, if you please, if I may go across the border into the United States, the President of the United States has just had to come and intervene to bring in a law saying that it is not constitutionally right for someone to kick, for someone to burn, and for someone to do what he wants with the U.S. flag. Now, nobody worships a piece of cloth, that's true. But my friends, there are strong symbols that God has given to us to keep us together. And Israel had the altar of the Lord as that central point of unity, that central point of destiny, that central point, my friends, of direction, and they removed it. And from that point on, Israel miscalculated what the removing of their spiritual heritage would be. We'll see in a minute what that is. So number one, they removed their spiritual heritage. But you cannot remove your spiritual heritage, my friends, without replacing your spiritual heritage. And the second miscalculation is that they replaced their spiritual heritage. 1 Kings 16:33. "And Ahab made the Asherah." Now, you may have read that word and you ask, what in the world does that mean? Well, Asherah, my friends, was a Phoenician goddess. She was said to be the co-creator, the god of fertility, and the god who gives and preserves. She's said to be the mother of Baal. And what Ahab did, upon removing the altar of the Lord, destroying it, knocking it down, he built this image, this wooden image, to Asherah. And Israel's worship was changed from the altar of the Lord to now the image of Asherah, or the groves as it is called. It is an idol. It is a replacing, my friends, of the one true God by that which was man-made. I'm going to use one word to describe that. Humanism. Humanism. What is humanism? Humanism, my friends, is the belief that the universe is self-created and that it has its center in man. That anything that happens, happens because I make it happen or because you make it happen. The nature of the universe is depicted by modern science, as depicted by modern science, makes it unacceptable for any room to be made for the supernatural or for human values. That's humanism. Reasonable minds, says one of the humanists, reasonable minds look to other means for survival, not to a religious faith. In 1961, says Francis Schaeffer, the U.S. Supreme Court declared that secular humanism is a religion. And it is a religion just as any theistic or non-theistic religion. So that now it was possible to worship man. And if you do not believe that, my friends, let's look at the second part of my message this morning, the condition of the nation. For the miscalculation of the nation, we go to the condition of the nation. 1 Kings 18 and verse 19. 1 Kings 18 and verse 19. Elijah called all the people to him, the prophets of Baal, at Mount Carmel. And the section is too long to read. But I want to go, if you please, to verse 25. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one for yourself, an ox for yourself, and prepare it first for you are many, and call on the name of your God, and put no fire under it. And then they took the ox and they did that. Look at verse 19, verse 20. So Ahab sent a message to all the sons of Israel and brought all the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Look down at verse 26. Then they took the ox, which was given them, and prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until evening, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped upon the altar which they made. They made a new altar. And it came about at noon. Elijah mocked them, and so on and so on. Two things, my friends, that show the condition of the nation because of its miscalculation. The first was what I call religious pluralism. Now, religious pluralism means that there were many gods accepted. That they would take whatever god came along. All gods were equal. The god of the Christian is just as good as the god of... And they went on. In this case, it was Baal. And the people of Israel, whose faith was riveted upon the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, now came to the place where they could actually make Baal, having a house of worship for Baal, and Elijah had to go in and ask them, how long are you going to weaken yourself by vacillating between God and Baal? Interestingly enough, the word Baal means master or chief. Or the one who oversees, the one who is a Phoenician deity. And here it is, my friends. They did not realize that when Elijah asked them, how long halt you between two opinions, the word halt literally means, how long do you weaken yourself? If you are not dedicated to anything, you will weaken yourself. Several years ago, I attended a meeting for educators at the Board of Education, 5050 Yonge Street. And the contention was getting rid of the Lord's Prayer. And I do not say this for any accolades. I was the only minister, along with a German minister, who stood up to all the other ministers in that place, who ridiculed Canada's concern that the Lord's Prayer be said. Only two of us from all the ministers stood up for the Lord's Prayer to be repeated in the schools. Now, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about an identity. For that's what it is. This is what one of the ministers said. If we should have the Lord's Prayer repeated, we will offend those other religions that are coming into the country. Well, the German minister said, we came to Canada and we accepted what we found. Why do we not accept what we knew was here? That was the German minister. I won't tell you what I said, or you'll probably ask me to leave tomorrow. Religious pluralism, my friends, weakens a nation. See it in a home. See it in a home where a child can go to the mother and get a yes when the father says no, or vice versa. Or a child doesn't know what standards are there for that child to abide by. What happens? Before too long, my friends, you have the child doing whatever is right in her own sight. And that's precisely what we have. Religious pluralism leads to the weakening of faith, the weakening of country, the weakening of individuals, because a person doesn't know where to turn. And Israel was weakening itself because it was vacillating between God and Baal. Israel knew its history, but it ignored it. It knew what the possibilities were of worshiping Baal, and yet Israel didn't have enough strength to make a decision. Could we be that far? But then it was not only religious pluralism, there was religious paganism. Religious paganism. 25 to 29. I've read some of it. I've touched on some of it. Here were these people now, jumping up and down, cutting themselves, beating themselves, crying to a God that was not there. My friends, unless you have not been reading or listening, you had better be aware that it is now the privilege of any Canadian to worship Satan. Lethbridge proved this to us, where parents were actually asking the police to arrest their kids to keep them from committing suicide, where kids had actually made a pact with Satan to kill themselves. I must be careful here, because my friends, in our country, there are people that they are concerned about who are missing, that they have been used for human sacrifice. I can verify that to you. Religious paganism. Do you know, my friends, I think it was 6 months ago or so, Pastor Sloss had his house broken into in Kitchener. And poor Dorothy went home and found the culprit in the house. Do you know, my friends, that if Pastor Sloss had found the criminal in his house and attacked him, that Pastor Sloss could have been charged? You cannot exercise any kind of self-defense anymore, because everyone has a right, even the right to enter your home without your permission. That's what's going on now. And please allow me to say this. It might be true, my friends, that we have a constitution that gives us rights, but the country was never more weakened until it came home, where now we have the right to do whatever we want. You can look at people who no longer obey the traffic signs, no longer obey the rules, no longer feel that there is any restraint upon him or her to do whatever they want to do, if you please. And it keeps on and on. Religious paganism. I can go on, but time will not permit me. And so they miscalculated by removing the spiritual heritage, by replacing the spiritual heritage, the condition led to religious pluralism and to religious paganism. We come to the third, the liberation of a nation. And I was hurrying to get here. What happened? Barry read from Psalm 85 this morning, where the prayer of the psalmist was, God, revive the land again. Oh God, show yourself mighty on the behalf of those who trust in you. And we see this in 1 Kings 18, 30 to 39. 1 Kings 18, 30 to 39. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near. So all the people came near. My friends, up to that time, the people were divided within themselves and among themselves. Up to that time, one group of people stood here and another group stood here. But Elijah called them forth. And he called them forth in front of the broken altar. And he repaired the altar in the presence of all the people. Listen, friends. We do not need a new philosophy to rescue the nation. We need to be revived again in our spiritual lives. Simple as it sounds. We shall see how that helped Britain over 200 years ago. And when they stopped, then the help was also gone. First of all, God rescued the nation by the intercession of the godly. The intercession of the godly. He repaired the altar. And I like what Matthew Henry said. He repaired the altar of the Lord. He would show them that he was not about to start a new religion, but to revive the faith in the God of their fathers. And he called them in front of it. And he said, you have rejected your spiritual heritage. You need to recapture it. And so he repaired the altar. And what moves me, our friends, with this text, what moves me is this. That Elijah, a nation steeped in spiritual paganism, spiritual pluralism, a nation steeped in demon worship, a nation steeped in human sacrifice, Elijah, with 63 words, changed the course of the nation. Just 63 words. Read it for yourself. He cried, oh God, the God of Abraham. You see, he's taking them back into their heritage. He's repairing the altar of the Lord. And he's calling upon the God of heaven who is there. And he's causing these people to realize that only one true God exists. There might be many small G-O-D-S, but there is only one God. And Elijah called upon him with 63 words in the English Bible. Move the nation. And I ask you, my friends, during this time of our political pains, did we as a congregation spend any time in prayer for our country? Did we take time out? If we had certain needs, we would do it, would we not? But do you realize, my friends, if we don't have a country, we won't have the freedoms that we have? And do you realize, my friends, that the only religion that gives religions freedom is the Christian religion? No other religion allows any other religion to exist in its presence. Wednesday night we heard some of the things taking place in Nigeria, where if they get the laws passed, where the Muslims will now have the rights of privilege, that people will be called upon to denounce their Christian faith. Did we spend time in prayer for our nation? I'm not talking about the parties now. I'm not talking about the liberals, the conservatives, or the other party. I am talking about the nation, my friends, the nation, the country of Canada. Elijah fell on his face before God because the nation was in trouble. And so we have the intercession of the godly. God said to Abraham, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah if I can find the godly who will seek me. He said to Ezekiel, I look for a man to fill the gap, but I could find none. My friends, may I say to you again that history proves it. that every time God wanted to move in a nation to rescue it, he looked for a man? When Britain was in its deepest, deepest darkness with slavery, God found William Wilberforce. When Britain needed laws to be written so that there might be justice in the land, God found Sir William Blackburn. And on I can go. God will hear the godly when he or she prays when a nation is in trouble. And my friends, our nation is. Do you know that there are as many Christian percentage-wise today? There are as many Christian percentage-wise today as there were Christians at the turn of this century. So we have not grown one inch percentage-wise. We have more people now, but we have less Christians. And if we believe, my friends, that our spiritual heritage is the key to our destiny and our prosperity, then, my friends, we must find our heritage once again. So the liberation of the nation came through the intercession of the godly. And then lastly, verse 38, through the intervention of God. Verse 38 begins with one word in my Bible. Then the fire of the Lord fell. What's the fire of the Lord? The fire of the Lord is God's answer. God's purifying answer. Fire purifies. It destroys and it makes new once again. Let me read for you. Time is gone. Francis Schaeffer says this, and I wrote it down deliberately. We of the Northern Europe, and Canada is included, he says, is the extension of Northern Europe's form and freedom. A freedom that is based upon the Reformation. If it had not been for the Wesleys and the Whitfields, if it had not been for their revivals, Schaeffer, who is a historian, says this, England would have had its own French Revolution. Social laws were changed when Wesley preached, when Whitfield preached. England felt the power of the gospel, and it changed the nation until recently. And again, my friends, perhaps downstairs there is a Wesley, I don't know. Perhaps downstairs there's a Whitfield. Pray for our young people. Many of us will be gone to glory when they will have to give answer to the pains of the future. When they will have to take the responsibility of shaping a nation. And unless we give them their spiritual heritage once again, I cringe when I realize what could happen. But we are told that righteousness exalts a nation. And if we give them today, by our prayers, by our encouragement, by our participation with them, if you please, if we give that to them, it is hoped that God will once again revive our land and restore our spiritual heritage. I trust that God will use this word, poor as it was, to help you to rediscover your spiritual heritage and pass it on to our children.